my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Oh, come to this fountain that's rich and sweet.
Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. For there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Verse 2.
I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. For there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. For there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
You know, the blood is your only salvation, my dear friend. If you're not washed in the blood, then you're not washed. There is no other washing but the blood that prepares you for that eternal city. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. Whether you're listening by radio, internet, or by Facebook, you're welcome. We are delighted that you're with us. And I'm going to tell you, we serve a God that answers prayer. He gave me a miracle of healing. 3 weeks I've been recovering from my crash. And you know what? I slept 15 hours last night, and it was the Lord. I mean, it was just grace that covered me like a blanket and put me to sleep, and I just came out feeling about, 10 years younger, maybe 5, let's just say 15. Well, anyhow, I feel wonderful, and I'm glad to be here in your home, in your automobile, at your workplace. Shopping, if you got an iPhone in your hand, it doesn't matter. I'm just glad you were with me today, and we're going to talk about Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Now, there's not many subjects in the Bible that's much more breathtaking than Jerusalem. Of course, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, always top. But Jerusalem, name, listen, 767 times in your Bible. Now, I know what somebody's thinking. That's Old Testament. Oh, no. 141 of those is in the New Testament. And that's not naming all the synonyms that are used to speak of Jerusalem. There are hundreds of them. Jerusalem, the most named city in the Bible by far. I mean, by far. And so it's thrilling to know that we have such a wonderful Bible. And I want to tell you something that never crossed my mind. Well, maybe a little bit, but not really got a hold of me. We think of anybody coming against Jerusalem as being anti-Semitic, being anti-Jew. And there is a multitude of that all over the world. They hate anything that has to do with the Jews. And think of them putting them as Jerusalem being their capital, as our president did this week, just drives them insane. Well, it's just as much an attack on me and my faith and my Bible and my Jesus as it is an attack on the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. You got to remember, my friend, this Bible was born in Jerusalem. And you got to understand that the center of this Bible, as far as a city, a geographical location, is Jerusalem. And you got to know that Jesus was born right in the vicinity of Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And he was crucified right in the vicinity, within probably what we would call the walls of Jerusalem. And then resurrected and ascended to heaven right there in Jerusalem. So if you displace the Bible from its biblical perspective, you attack Jews and Gentile Christians. There's no ifs and ands. And so when you get that and you feel that, it makes you feel stronger about Jerusalem. And not only is Jerusalem the center of our Bible, the center of the life of our Christ, it will be the center of a thousand-year millennial reign when Jesus comes to reign on this earth 1,000 years. Now, there is much to talk about today, and I hope you'll get in the middle of it with me, because I've got so many different little ideas I can bring, and that was one of the biggest ones to me, was that any attack on Jerusalem is an attack on Christians. You got to understand that any attack on Jerusalem is an attack on our Bible. I mean, you can't put it no other way. That's just how it is, as well as being an attack on the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. Now, God himself chose Jerusalem. The Bible makes that plain. Jerusalem is a city that the Father God chose as a center of all of his activities on our earth. Almost everything in the Bible centers in some direction toward the city of Jerusalem. I know before the flood, Jerusalem had not even been, had not come into the equation. I understand that. But it wasn't long after the flood until Jerusalem began to become center. Remember Abraham, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him? He was called the King of Jerusalem. Hey, friend, the Bible is a wonderful book. It is a grand book, and to live in it is a joy. Now, remember, God himself chose Jerusalem. Now, I want to tell you, and you ought to write this down if you can't remember it. Maybe you can. There are four Jerusalems. Four Jerusalems. All of them relate to God. Four Jerusalems. All of them relate to God. God himself lives in a city called Heavenly Jerusalem. Great is the Lord, and great is our God. Beautiful is his city. Hallelujah. On the mount side of the mountains, the city of the great king. That's heavenly Jerusalem. That's heavenly Jerusalem. And then there's earthly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. And then there's earthly Jerusalem. And then there's spiritual Jerusalem. The church is called the Jerusalem of the New Testament. We are the spiritual Jerusalem of the New Testament. Our church is Jerusalem. Our churches, are Jerusalem in a spiritual sense, if they're truly New Testament churches. And number four is New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Remember this now. Heavenly Jerusalem, what God's throne is. Earthly Jerusalem, where the Jews now have their capital. Spiritual Jerusalem, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then New Jerusalem, the eternal city. The eternal city, 1,500 miles four square. Oh, what a city. What a city, friend. Oh, I can't wait for that day. Well, today, this week's been quite amazing. Thank God for Donald Trump doing what he said he was going to do, doing what other presidents promised and wouldn't do, doing what the Congress passed years ago to do. But our president is a man of action, not a man of words. Oh, he's got lots of words, but he's a man of action. And thank God for that. And we are grateful for the action this week of declaring Jerusalem the capital of the Jewish people. You got it? I like it. I love it. It caused a, yeah, of course it's going to cause a tremendous amount of action. The liberals don't like it because they don't believe in the Bible to start with. They don't believe in Jesus as the literal mighty Son of God. And they don't believe in the Jews as having a right to a homeland. So it's just natural there'd be a fight. But you just pray and seek God to work His will in all of it. So remember now, four Jerusalems. Don't forget that. You may have questions about that. That would be something good to talk about with your questions. Let me give you the number to call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Our toll free is 1-800-338-7884. That's 7884, 1-800-3-7884 is Truth, 1-800-33-TRUTH. T-R-U-T-H. And you're going to hear truth on this broadcast. That's all I'm committed to, is truth. The Holy Bible. The blessed book. Oh, thank God for that book. Now, let's open the lines for you to call, okay? I'm opening the lines. Grab your phone. I want to answer your question. I want to answer your question. I want to help you understand Jerusalem. I want to help you feel like you should feel about Donald Trump and the decision he made this week. I want to help you understand the Jewish people and their future. I want to talk to you in a little bit about the thousand-year millennial reign, where Jerusalem will be the capital of the whole earth. Did you hear that? Jerusalem will be the capital of the whole earth. Now, I think I have ladies here. They didn't open my door. Come, let me see you here, ladies. If you're in there, I got to have somebody answering that telephone. Okay? Now, crack the door and let me make sure you're here, and then I will be able to feel comfortable. I don't feel or see anybody yet, and I want you to be able to call. So you go ahead and call, and we'll find out whether they're here or not. 704-391-0588. Well, they're here. Don't worry about it. God bless you, Dixie. She's a new one for us. This is her second time. Bless you, Dixie. Bless you very much. And your Savannah, which is, she's probably with her. Got a sweet little teenage girl. We have wonderful children here and wonderful young people. You know, all of my pastoral life, over 60 years now, I've been a person that loves the children and the teenagers. I mean, they've just been the center of my heart. The center of my heart. And you don't have to worry. I will not ever be accused of touching one wrongly. That's the most horrible thing. You know what? A man that bothers a child or a young person ought to be hung by the neck until they're dead. That's how I feel about it. They ought to be, if they're proven guilty, they ought to be hung by the neck until they're dead. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear from you. The gift today is, now listen, the gift is this tremendous article on Jerusalem, God's eternal city. Jerusalem, God's eternal city. I will prove for you. I will prove for you from the Bible in this article that Jerusalem is God's eternal city, that it will never be less than Jerusalem. It will never cease to exist. It's been destroyed so many times, but right back out of the ashes it comes back, because it is God's eternal city. It is God's chosen city, and you better believe that. So I want you to have this article, and let me give you one more gift I want to give you. I'll show it to you here. I think I can do it. It's a timeline, 8.5 by 11, of Jerusalem's chronicle history. Chronological, I get the word out right. Jerusalem, chronological history. And this is just the part that goes from Jerusalem into the end, the prophetic end. The prophetic end. There's actually three in the series, and I'll give you all three of them, but I really want you to have this one. I really do. Jerusalem and its prophetic future. Jerusalem and its prophetic future. All right, let's get back here and talk about the Bible, the Holy Bible, and how it talks about Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Now, it will be the capital of Jesus Christ for 1,000 literal years. Now, I want you to hear that. I'm going to say that slowly. I'm going to repeat it. I want to get it into your noggin, your head, that is. I want you to grab it, really do, that Jerusalem will be the literal capital of the whole earth for 1,000 years. It will multiply in size until it stretches from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea. Now, if you study anything about Jewish history and Jewish chronological locations, you'll know that's a big city, a huge city. There's not a bigger one. It will stretch from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea, and it will heal everything in its wake, and it will become a great garden paradise. Much of that land now is mountainous and almost, I mean, just really, they've had to pull it back out of the deserts. And so to think about it and to know about it is really a beautiful thing. Exceptionally beautiful. Exceptionally beautiful. And you need to understand that when it becomes the capital of the whole earth, it will be the center of riches and wealth worldwide. And the Bible talks about the kings of the earth bringing their jewels and their riches and their treasures to Jerusalem. Oh, friend, the capital of the whole earth for 1,000 years. Now listen to me. How soon could Jerusalem become the capital of the whole earth? In as little as 7 years. In as little as 7 years. Now, you see what's happening in Israel right now. You see the result in the anger, the hatred of the Muslim world for Donald Hunt for declaring Jerusalem the capital of the Jewish nation. My friend, nothing is more prophetic than that action. I mean, it is just prophetic. It had to happen. Somebody had to do it. Because Jerusalem is going to be the capital, and for the 7 years of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to do everything in his power to either control it or destroy it. The Antichrist is going to hate Jerusalem when he finally has to see that he cannot take it, he cannot rule over it, and so then he sets his mind to destroy it. And that's what brings about the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is Jesus coming back from heaven to defeat the Antichrist and his whole army, his worldwide army in the Valley of Megiddo, which is north of Jerusalem, where the Antichrist will be set up to march on Jerusalem. Now, you really need to ask me some questions. I was in a home Thursday night, and they got me explaining these things, and it was thrilling to them. It was thrilling. See, it's thrilling to understand these biblical truths, and that we're sitting right on the edge of a powder keg. Right on the edge of a powder keg on one side and a glorious triumph on the other side. The Antichrist holds the powder keg. God the Father holds the answer. And the answer will be 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and all the saints of God over Jerusalem and the whole earth. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the earth. Now, I don't know what to say to you that's more exciting than this. And I'm spending a lot of time right here because we're talking about in as little as 7 years. All that's got to happen is the rapture take place, and then a 7-year tribulation period, and then the end of that 7-year dark period of the Antichrist, Jesus comes back and destroys the Antichrist and casts him into the lake of fire. I mean the lake of fire. He goes straight to the lake of fire, friend. He goes straight to eternal judgment. That happens at the end of the 7 years. And then Jesus sets up his kingdom. Jesus actually marches to Jerusalem from Megiddo. Marches to Jerusalem, makes other stops, and then sets up his kingdom in the city of Jerusalem. How many of you know about the Golden Gate? that's been stoned up, I mean cut off for hundreds of years, and nobody can open that golden gate. It's right across from where the temple belongs. It's right across from where the Mosque of Omar is. You would think those Arabs would go in there and tear the wall down and make it a straight direction into the Mosque of Omar. They can't, because God said it can't. It don't matter what anybody thinks. When God says something, it stands. When God says this is how it's going to be, this is how it's going to be. And that's how all the prophecy is. God's already said, this is how it's going to be. And I don't care what nobody says. It don't matter if it's the Pope of Rome. It don't matter if it's some television preacher. It don't matter if it's the biggest pastor in the world, pastor in the largest congregation in the world. It don't mean a thing if God didn't say it. Because God's word is going to be perfectly and wonderfully fulfilled. Can you imagine anybody saying anything but words simple like that, that God's word will be perfectly fulfilled? So Jesus will reign there 1,000 years. Now listen, it will be so vast, and I've already said that. It was number four. Jerusalem will be connected to earthly Jerusalem. Now, at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, there will be the white throne judgment, where every wicked man, every ungodly man, every unsaved person, every person that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't know the power of a new birth and the blood of Jesus will be judged at the white throne judgment, and they will be cast then into the lake of fire. Now, once all the wicked are cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says that eternity is going to begin. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, when we get to that point of the new heaven and the new earth, there's a city already built in heaven called New Jerusalem. Already finished, already gleaming. The Holy Ghost took John to a high mountain and showed him that city. God had to take him to a high mountain to even show it to him, because it's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide, and you couldn't see a city like that unless you was on the highest mountain in the world looking at it. And that's where he was, maybe even higher than the mountains of our world, and he saw New Jerusalem, and it will come down from God out of heaven. New Jerusalem will come down from God out of heaven. And it will be situated somewhere in connection with earthly Jerusalem. I have the personal feeling, no Bible to back this up. I have the personal feeling it will hover over an earthly Jerusalem. Hover. I mean, just hover over it, because there won't be no sun then, won't need no sun, because the Lord God will be the light of the world and the light of the earth. And that city will beam with such brightness that it will light up the whole new heaven and the new earth. And I think it will be situated somewhere near earthly Jerusalem, 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles four square high, every direction. Oh, what a city. What a city. Now, scriptures. Oh, yes, every bit of this is in the Bible. Every bit of this is biblical. Now grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Don't want to waste a bit of time. I've got all kinds of points. I can talk the whole hour. I can talk 2 hours if you want me to. 3 hours if you want me to. I mean, I won't try that. Don't worry. Just an hour today, the program goes off. And I'm not going to sit here and talk to myself. But I want to hear you. I want to hear your question. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Don't make those ladies come here and do nothing. Call and order this wonderful booklet. I mean, you can study this. Pastors, this would be the basis of a great sermon if you want to preach it, probably 3 or 4 out of this. Your congregation needs to know these things. They need to know this is not some new kind of theology. This theology, oh man, it dates right on back. And one of the greatest writers there ever was a Lutheran who wrote the book, the Apocalypse. And he was a Lutheran preacher, Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. Great writer. If you want a good book, but his book is good. My book is more simple. My book is it doesn't disagree with that. Well, we may disagree a little something somewhere. I don't remember. But I want to tell you, you need my book, The Masterpiece. And I meant to have it in my hand, and I forgot to lay it on my desk. And maybe one of the ladies listening would come in here and hand it to me. I want to tell you, it is so beautiful, beautiful, when you begin to study about great truths like this. They need to be right in the middle of your theology. They really do. Now, call quickly. I do want to answer questions. I really want to answer questions badly. I know that there's more result of my answering questions than all of my talking. Because when there's a question to ask, then most people will set up and listen and try to hear the answer. Now, New Jerusalem will be connected to earthly Jerusalem in some way. I don't know how. Nobody has a biblical verse for that. We just know that some way New Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem will be connected, because heavenly Jerusalem will be confined into the New Jerusalem, and the church will be raptured and will be confined into the New Jerusalem. So eternity will bring all four Jerusalems together and make them one vast great city, 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. I mean, it will be a grand city. And you understand, it fulfills all the other three Jerusalems and puts them in one great compact place together and makes it the center of God's entire universe, the center of all of God's activity. His throne will be in that city. 1,500 miles square. Do you understand that? 1,500 miles square. That's a big city. 1,500 miles high, and then 12 levels. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Each of those levels will be named after one of the great stones and will be decorated by those great stones. And it will be a 12-tiered city, 12 levels high. Every level will compass 1,500 square miles. 12 times 1,500 square miles. You multiply that, and you'll have how many square miles will make up the living area of the city of New Jerusalem. Take that again now, 1,500 miles square. So that's 1,500 times 1,500. And then 12 times that, because there's 12 levels of that size of city. And you'll have the square mileage for the city living space of New Jerusalem. Will you be there? Will you be there? Will you be living there with all the blessed saints of God? I could not think of wanting to live anywhere else. That's something he'll have to give me, because I earn it and I'm striving hard to earn it. Okay? Now, let's go to other thoughts. I want you to remember, angels, right now, I'm not talking about tomorrow or yesterday, right now, angels are situated on the walls of Jerusalem. Right now, angels. You say, what in the world does anybody have to worry about when it comes to Jerusalem with angels situated on their walls? Well, not really anything. But the world don't know that. And the world don't understand that. Let me take you to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Let me read several verses. Hey, I want you to call now. I know you usually wait till the middle of the hour and then you start calling, but I don't want you to do that today. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-705. Did I get that right? 391-0588. 391-0588. Then the toll free number, 1-800-338-7884. Grab your phone. I want to answer your question. I want us to talk about this. I want you to get it in your head. Let me read to you Isaiah 62 for Zion. That's Jerusalem. I told you there are many words in the Bible that mean Jerusalem that don't actually say Jerusalem. But here we have, for Jerusalem's sake, for Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's sake, listen, for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. For Jerusalem's sake, God says, I will not rest. You worried about Jerusalem being destroyed by the devil? He's going to try. He's going to do some dark things during the 7-year tribulation period. I hate to tell you, he's going to do some dark things, but he will not finalize the destruction of Jerusalem. He will not get away with it. I will not rest, says God, until righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. God says, I will not rest until Jerusalem is cared for, until righteousness goes forth, until there is purity in the city of Jerusalem. And and the Gentiles shall, now listen now, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. The Gentiles, that's the world, shall see that thy righteousness, and all things thy glory. And all kings, it says, thy glory. The kings are going to see his glory. Oh, that day's coming. You think the world don't care nothing about Jerusalem and God now. The day's coming when they will. Because God is going to act in such manner that you have never saw anything to match it. It is coming. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the name, the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Oh, I like that one. I could spend a while there. Thus shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Thus shall also, thou, talking about Jerusalem, I read that wrong. Thou, Jerusalem, shall be a crown of glory. Jerusalem is going to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Folks, are you understanding what Brother Chambers is trying to tell you? I don't know that I'm getting through. I would think the phone would ring off the hinges. I mean, really. We're talking about something so glorious and so grand, and our church world is so dumbed down and so biblically ignorant and so far removed from the promises of the future. Preachers have been so lazy in their study and so careless in the things that they understand about this Bible that most of the church world don't even know what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about something that's been part of the Bible all of these years. And something so beautiful. Thou also, Jerusalem, he's talking of, shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Jerusalem will be a crown. That's during the 1,000-year millennial reign. That Jerusalem is going to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. I told you a while ago, it will stretch from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. I told you the riches of the world are going to be brought there of the kings of the earth. I told you that this whole world is going to shake, friend. This whole world is going to shake, rattle, and roll. It's going to shake, rattle, and roll. Are you listening to me? Because God is going to have the last word. God is going to have the last word. Now listen, thou shalt all... I'm telling you, Lord help these eyes of mine. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Talking about Jerusalem. Right now, we think of Jerusalem as somewhat forsaken. But thou shalt be no more termed forsaken, neither shall the land any more be termed desolate. Well, that's already changed. The Jews have turned it back from being desolate to being a garden. I mean, an absolute place of tremendous progress and beauty. But thou shalt be called Hezabah. Hezabah, that's a loving name for Jerusalem. Hezabah. And the land, Beulah. Hezabah and... Oh, I tell you, it's exciting to think of Jerusalem. Now, look at what's happening right now. Look at how the Palestinians, look at how the Turks, look at how the Syrians, look at how the Iranians, look at how all of these different Muslim people. Look at how all of them are so angry and coming against Jerusalem and promising to come against Israel. They say they're going to set a fire that never goes out, and the fire is going to be for their burning. The fire is going to be for their own burning. If you live in Germany, you better get out. If you live in Turkey, you better get out. If you live in Syria, you better get out. If you live in Libya, you better get out. If you live in any of these nations that's liberal and pro-Palestinians and pro-Muslims, you better do some thinking about your life, friend, because destruction is coming like a whirlwind. Go and read the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, would you? Go read it. I challenge you to go read it. It'll change your life. It'll stir you to the core. I got to go read this again. That thou shalt be no more termed forsaken. Neither shall the land anymore be termed desolate. And thou shalt be called Hezabah. And the land Beulah. You ever heard of that song, Beulah Land? it's going to be called Beulah Land. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and the Lord shall be married. And the land shall be married. I'm sorry. And thy land shall be married. He's going to marry the whole land of Israel to the Lord himself and rule it for 1,000 years as he rules the rest of the earth. Now, you got to understand, during the 1,000-year millennial reign, Jerusalem and Israel will be a separate nation. and the Gentile world will be the Gentile world, and the whole of it will be ruled by God's people. The land of Israel will be ruled by the Jewish people. The rest of the nations of the whole earth will be ruled by the bride of Christ, the saints of God, those who are raptured and caught up to God at the rapture time. Oh, that could be any day. It could happen before I finish here today. I got to go on. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thou also marry thee. That's the Lord married the land of Israel during the 1,000 years. See, Israel is his chosen as well as the church. God's got two chosen people. He's got the chosen Israeli, his family, and he's got the chosen church, his spiritual Jerusalem. And they are beautiful together. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, shall thy God rejoice over thee. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over his bride, so shall God rejoice over thee. Now you got to hear this verse 6. This is Isaiah 62:6. Says, I have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. Right now, God's got angels, watchmen, upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. Never hold their peace. Never. You don't have to worry about it. If those Turks come marching down, he'll take care of them. If those Iranians decide to invade Israel, he'll take care of them. If those people in the other places decide to invade Israel, God will take care of them. The day's coming. He's been doing it now since 48. He'll do it right down to the last moment when he sets up his kingdom on this earth. I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. Never hold their peace, day nor night. Day nor night, they're not going to hold their peace. You don't have to worry. Quit worrying. Pray, yes, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but then trust God. Believe it, know that God answers prayer. And listen to what he says to his church. He says, yet hold thy peace day and night, ye that make mention of the land of the Lord, keep not silent. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. In other words, keep praying. Keep reminding God of Jerusalem how much you love it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Jews. Pray for the hand of God. Now, that was a wonderful point. Took me a while, but I want you to know right now, God's got angels sitting on the walls of Jerusalem, taking care of it. Oh, you say they're still in unbelief. I know that. They are a desecration to themselves in many instances. But God's going to change all of that. That day is coming. You got to believe me, that day is coming. Oh, what a truth. Hey, I got some other points here we must remember. Jesus was born near Jerusalem. You do know that, don't you? How important is Jerusalem to the Lord himself who was born? As you know, he was born right there. And you can see my book right over there, by the way. I want you to order the masterpiece. I want you to have the masterpiece. I really do. But you got to understand, Jesus was born near Jerusalem. And Jesus, of course, was crucified in Jerusalem. I'm sure there was no city limits at that time. So all of the area there would have been Jerusalem. And Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. And Jesus was resurrected in Jerusalem. And Jesus ascended from Jerusalem. Are you getting the message? That Jerusalem is just as important to you and I as it is to the Jewish people. Jerusalem is just as important to you and I as it is the Jewish people. Now, I know it's snowing outside, and maybe you're playing in the snow, but I want to spend these next 25 minutes on the phone. You wear me out when you don't help me with good questions that help people out there learn. You've got to learn these great truths. I know your churches aren't preaching them. Your preachers are backslid, and they won't preach the old prophecies of the Bible and the book of Revelation. And I'm here doing it for them. Doing it for you, really, not for them. Doing it for you. Because I want you to know what this book says. I want it to be a part of your life. I want you to live ready for the Lord to come. So you remember, Jesus was born not far from Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And Jesus was crucified right there at Jerusalem. And Jesus was resurrected right there at Jerusalem. You understand all of this? You understand there were many people around Jerusalem that were resurrected when he was. They were the first fruits with him. They were the first fruits with him. Oh, friend, You're talking about things that just take your breath away. They are so wonderful. They will take your breath away. So everything about Jesus centers around Jerusalem. Can't ever forget that. Extremely important. Just as important to us as to the Jews. Just as important to us as to the Jews. Now, if you love the truth about Jerusalem and you are pro-Israel, I want about a dozen calls to let me know why you are pro-Israel. Why you are very careful to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You're very careful to stand with your president in declaring Jerusalem as the center and the capital of the Jewish people. I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Give us a call quickly. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good.
Okay, great. All this controversy about Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, but hasn't Jerusalem always been the capital?
Well, you realize that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70, and the Jews have not ruled that city and had a homeland since A.D. 70. All the way from A.D. 70 to 1946, nearly 1,900 years, there was no Jewish capital because there was no people called the Jews who occupied the land of Israel. So it was the capital for 1,000 years before then, over 1,000 years. But it hasn't been their capital for nearly 1,900 until 1946.
So in 1946, it was ruled as it was made.
1946, the nations of the world, some of them that is, not all, declared Jerusalem or Israel, the land of Israel, as the capital of the Jewish people. So it became, as it were, their capital in 48. But the U.S. Embassy and all the embassies of the governments of the world were all put in Tel Aviv to keep from angering the Muslims. And so we are the one nation now that has declared Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish people. One nation, right now, the only nation. And that's made all the rest of the world angry.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was wondering why, the Muslims...
We've done something that the whole world despises, or at least they say they do. Some of them have to say it because of their people. There are many politicians all over the world that only do what the political landscape demands that they do. And there's probably many others that would make Israel the capital, or Jerusalem, I should say, the capital of the Jews, but can't do it because just like what Trump is facing, they would face things maybe even worse.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I find it amazing that angels guard the walls of Jerusalem.
Well, you got to understand, God knows what he's doing, and God is faithful, and it's thrilling to know that God's got angels sitting on the walls.
Yes, that's fantastic. It's wonderful. Yeah, I never knew that.
Oh, well, that's in, you go read it, Isaiah 62, read the first six verses, and you'll have a beautiful picture of what God has promised he's going to do for Jerusalem. He's going to recall it Hezabah or Beulah. You know what the word Beulah means. You remember the song Beulah Land that was sung at my wife's funeral? And it just set fire in the hearts of many people. We're going to be in Beulah Land before you know it, friend. We're going to be, when we come back for the Battle of Armageddon, we will come back to the northern area of Jerusalem. And then we will march into Jerusalem and set up the kingdom of Jesus Christ on this earth.
Yeah, praise God. Yes, I don't hear a lot of preachers talking, but that's great. You're talking about that. It's wonderful.
Well, preachers don't preach it because many of them don't believe it. You go off to these liberal universities, liberal seminaries, and those professors are mainly liberal, and they don't take the book of Revelation literal. They think it's just a fairy tale.
Wow. Yeah, not even preaching the rapture either. Yeah.
They don't believe the rapture, of course. You see, if you don't believe the pre-trib rapture, there's no way to have Israel in the proper biblical context of your prophecy. If you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, it messes up everything about end-time prophecy. That's why the pre-trib rapture is the bedrock of prophetic teaching. The bedrock. Anybody who don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, their mind spiritually is messed up.
Yeah, that's something that they called.
I got to take another line here. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You on the line. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I love Israeli people and pray for them continually because the word of God comes through the Israeli people. All the Old Testament prophets, all the New Testament disciples were all Jewish. Jesus came to us through the nation of Israel, through the Jewish people, and we are told that he'll bless those who bless him.
You could not be more right. And see, if we didn't have the Jewish people, if you could eliminate the Jewish people, and if you could eliminate Jerusalem, we'd have to throw our Bible away.
Yes. You know, it says that Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone to all the nations of the world.
That's in the book of Zechariah.
It's also become a burdensome stone to the church, like you're talking about, because half the church don't.
Well, you're exactly right. When he said the whole world, he included the church. And the church world, the backslid church world, say it right, the backslid church world doesn't preach the things I'm preaching today.
Yes, I would get out of any church that replaces replacement theology because God has not replaced his people.
And he never will.
Never will. Thank you, Brother James.
Oh, it's a joy. Thank you for calling. I appreciate these good questions now. They help everybody. And so let's spend these next 18 minutes answering questions. Grab your phone. Don't wait a minute. Don't wait a minute. Are you listening to me? If you say you believe the Bible, then let me see how and why you believe the Bible, okay? Get involved with me. I've got three preachers that I've told they have to start helping me on Saturday. And if they don't, I'm going to quit letting them preach. I mean, that's just what I've made up my mind. If they don't want to help me with this open Bible dialogue, they don't have any business in my pulpit. And I'm gonna stand by it, and I hope they'll do something. I don't know whether they're willing to move or not, but I'm willing. And everybody says, Brother Chambers, you're too tough. No, I'm not. I'm just, the reason I look tough is because the preachers of the world are nothing but a bunch of wimps. That's the only reason I look tough. I wouldn't look tough if there wasn't a bunch of weak preachers everywhere. I mean, it's terrible. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers, this is Brother Otto.
Hey, Brother Otto.
Hey, I heard the good news about healing. That is good. Brother Chambers, the question is, this Psalm 83:4, do you think it's the same as Ezekiel 38 or a different thing that could happen any time?
It could happen any time. I'm looking for the rapture. See, there's two main events that precede the kingdom of God on earth. One is the war of Gog and Magog, which could happen before the rapture or right after the rapture. Might even be close to simultaneous. And then the rapture. And then the tribulation period for 7 years. And these things are going to happen. There's no way to deny them.
So you think Ezekiel 38 can happen now?
Yes. Oh, yes. When you think of Trump declaring Jerusalem as now the capital of the Jewish people, you see, that had to happen before the seven-year tribulation period could start. Okay. That had to happen. The 7 year tribulation period there to begin with is a covenant between the Jews and the Antichrist. Well, they've got to have a capital to do what they're going to do. And it's going to be in the capital that the Antichrist erects his own image and called in the Bible the abomination of desolation. That happens in Jerusalem, in the temple. See, everything you read in prophecy has some relationship to Jerusalem.
Well, Brother Chambers, I saw a video yesterday of the last three presidents promising during their campaign to make Jerusalem the capital, and they did not do it.
Well, yeah, I understand. And, you know, Bush promised he would do it and didn't.
Yes.
Obama promised he would do it and didn't.
Clinton.
I think Clinton promised he would do it and didn't.
Yeah, I saw it.
But our president did.
Yes, he did.
He causes a lot of fires, don't he?
Yeah, but he's doing what's right in the sight of the Lord.
I believe it with all my heart. Thank you, Otto. You're my friend. I'll see you in church tomorrow. It's your time to be back now. Don't let nothing keep you away. I'm going to cut you off before you say you can't come. Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704 391-0588. Let me check here and see if there may be somebody who has put a question on the internet. Let me see here. Today. Let me see. I believe. No, that's not a question. I don't think. scriptures saying, here it is. Scripture saying our appearance in heaven will be as we are here, doing any scripture indicates ago. I can't read this and get it right. Scriptures say our appearance in heaven will be as we are here doing, and scriptural indicates age. Will we be for eternity as old there as we are here? When we die, will we be as old there as we are here? In other words, will I look like an old man there as I do here? Well, thank you, Sandy. I hope I got your question pretty good. Reading these crazy computers during the middle of a program anymore is not as easy as it used to be. My eyes have got dim. I'm doing my best with vitamins to get my eyes back. So pray for me, will you? God's going to help me. Hey, no, our age here will have nothing to do with our age there. I believe everybody will be youthful. I don't think there'll be any teenagers, and I don't think there'll be any 82-year-olds. I think we'll be we'll just be healthy and happy, and I don't know that there's any such thing as the looks of age there. I think that there'll probably be no such thing as somebody looking old or young. There'll just be wonderful, beautiful bodies. Even as we are known, we'll know each other. I'll look like Joseph Chambers, and if I had to guess, I'll look something like I did 50 years ago. Black hair! Oh, I don't mind the gold or the silver, though. Whatever got the silver, I don't know why I said gold. I don't mind the silver. But whatever age we'll be, it'll be healthy. It'll be wonderful. God gave me such a healing miracle last night. You know, I crashed on the sidewalk 3 weeks ago not tomorrow. And it's been tough coming out of it. I didn't tell anybody how much I was hurt. I don't do that. I just pray and believe God. I've been trusting God with this old body for 40 years. I don't run to doctors. I don't want them x-raying me. I don't want them giving me a bunch of drugs. I don't want that stuff in me. I really don't. And so God's healed me. Would you say praise the Lord with me? Joseph Chambers is healed today after 3 years of being banged up with a crash on the sidewalk. When an 80-some-year-old man crashes on the sidewalk, I mean face down first, it ain't easy. It ain't easy, but God's my helper. Hey, grab your phone. I don't want to waste a minute. I want calls. I got 12 minutes here, and I want your call. I want to know what you are thinking about this subject today. I want to know your question. I want to know your question. Impossible to separate Jesus Christ from Jerusalem. I wrote that down. Impossible to separate Jesus Christ from Jerusalem. People who want to separate the Jews from Jerusalem are without biblical understanding. If you don't love Jerusalem, you ought not call yourself a Christian. If you don't love Jerusalem, you ought not declare yourself a Bible believer. If you don't love Jerusalem and the Jewish people, you should not claim Christianity. Go ahead and be a Muslim, be a Hindu, be anything you want to be. But don't claim to be a Bible-believing Christian if you don't love Jerusalem and love the Jews because you're being a hypocrite. I mean, that's all I can say. I don't mean that to be ugly with you. You're my friend. I saw a man on the internet, on the Facebook this week. He said, if you like Donald Trump, just befriend me. I don't want you to be my friend. I wrote right back and said, I like Donald Trump, but I want to be your friend because I want to love people. It don't matter what you are. I want to be your friend. I don't want to be ugly to you. Grab your phone. Do we have anybody waiting for me here? 704-391-05. Grab your phone, friend. I'm fussing at you now. I'm sorry. I'll back up. You're very important. Here's the numbers again. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Toll free 1-800-338-7884. And while I remove that, I want you to understand something, friend. You are important to Reverend Chambers. You are really important to Brother Chambers. And I want somehow to be a blessing to you. Now, you need this timeline. This timeline in color, 8.5 by 11, it's beautiful. And it gives you a chronological history of Jerusalem, into the prophetic future. All that's got to happen yet relative to Jerusalem is right here. It's right here. And I would like to give every one of you a free copy of this. It is a gift that is wonderful. What a gift to give you. And friend, I give you these things because I want you to understand the Bible. I want the Bible to get a hold of you. I want to become part of your life. Now, I don't only want to give you that. I want to give you a wonderful booklet. A wonderful booklet. Hey, how you like that? That's the Golden Gate. I love that picture. That's the Golden Gate. Let me see if I can show it there. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's on the front of this article. You'll love it. I promise you. You will love it. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I mentioned some time ago, and I agree with you about the misinformation and the fake Bible.
Say that again. I didn't quite get it.
Okay. You mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the bad information that's contained in the fake Bible and notes. And I agree with that. My question is, what do you feel about the writing of Clarence Martin, who wrote the book on dispensation of truth?
What am I doing about it?
No, what do you believe about, do you believe the writings of Clarence Martin in his book, Dispensation of Truth?
You know, I don't endorse or condemn other people's books on the radio anymore. I just believe the Bible. And I've got a book on Revelation called The Masterpiece, and it's wonderful. And so I wouldn't discuss this other book. One, I hadn't read it. And why would I discuss a book I hadn't read? And I don't read stuff like that anymore. I just read the Bible and read good stuff that enhances what I believe about the Bible.
Okay. All right. Well, I would have felt it's a very good book, and it's been around since the early 1900s. And usually most dispensational teachers use that book. I just wondered how you had you read it, but you told me that you have not.
So he denies that the Jews have a prophetic future.
Oh, no. He very much believes that.
Okay. Well, that's very important.
Uh-huh.
That would have to be in a good book. That would have to be there.
He definitely said that the Jews, they will return to their home, that they are God's chosen people, and that we are in the church age now, and after the rapture, their eyes will become open.
So he doesn't believe in the rapture?
He does. Absolutely believe in the rapture.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, my dear friend. I understand you now. You've been a little hard for me to understand. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers.
Yes.
First of all, before I ask the question, my wife and I look forward to Saturdays at 1 p.m. to hear you on the air. You are definitely a man full of the Holy Spirit. We greatly appreciate you on the air. We wish the show was longer.
But an hour's all an old man needs.
Preacher Chambers, I want to ask you, on national news yesterday and the day before, Pope came out and said that he wanted to rewrite the prayer.
Yeah, I saw that. Prayer. The Pope wants to rewrite the Lord's Prayer.
That's correct.
Well, you know, a man that would say that is a blasphemer. He has already proved, of course, a long time ago that he knows nothing about a biblical Christianity. And if he wants to rewrite the Lord's Prayer, he's a dangerous man, and he's playing with fire. And the Bible says if you change one word in the Bible, take away or add to, that he'll take your part out of the future. So the man's bound for hell if he don't repent.
And Brother Chambers, I can't believe all the millions of Catholics that he's leading to hell. And a lot of people listen to that man. I look at it two ways, sir. It's a good thing in one way because it's escalating the rapture to come more quickly. But on the other hand, a lot more folks will be doomed to hell. And I just wanted to get your take on that, sir.
And what's this man's name?
Sir?
What's his name? The name of the man you're asking about, what is his name?
No, I'm just saying the Pope.
Oh, you're talking about the Pope? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the Pope is a sad story. The Catholic people do not, you know, they put their hope in the Pope, and they say he cannot say anything that's not perfect. It's right. His words take precedence over the Bible. Anytime a man thinks his words take precedence over the Bible, he's a dangerous man.
Yes, sir, and it breaks my heart, all the Catholics that are going down the road.
Yeah, it does. Breaks my heart for them, too. Now, I've been weeping for lost souls. It doesn't matter to me what a background of a person is. If they're lost, I want to pray for them, and I want to see them repent. And so let's pray for the Pope, will you? I doubt he's going to repent, but I think we ought to pray for it.
I agree with you, sir. And like I said, maybe it's God's way of escalating the rapture in the end of time. So that's the way God works. Mysterious way. I just hate to see the Pope come out and say something.
But I'll tell you one thing. You can trust God. He's not going to fail. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Give us a call. We've got 5 minutes here. Hey, this is good. I love this. I want you to know that Jerusalem is a wonderful part of this Bible. The name, the word Jerusalem is in the Bible 767 times. 141 of those is in the New Testament, and 626 is in the Old Testament. You can know that the city of Jerusalem is the heart of God. It was chosen by God. There's four Jerusalem. Remember me naming that at the beginning? There's heavenly Jerusalem, where God's throne. There's earthly Jerusalem. That's the city right now where God himself sits. Then there's earthly Jerusalem, where the Jews now have their capital, according to our embassy. And then there's the church, which is spiritual Jerusalem. And then there is New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that a picture? Well, all four of those are going to be united in one in that New Jerusalem when it comes down after the thousand-year millennial reign. Now, have I said anything that confused you? Is there anything I've said that you need understanding in? The lines are still open. I've got about 4 minutes. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1-800, the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. I want to give you this booklet. Very good, very large. You can see the picture on the front is the picture of the Golden Gates, where it's still stoned up and will not be opened until Jesus Christ walks into them at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. When he finishes the battle in Megiddo, he marches into Jerusalem. That gate will be open that you just saw the picture of, and he will march in into the area where the great temple used to be. And he will set up his kingdom on this earth and reign from Jerusalem 1,000 years. What wonderful truth. I hope I've got some of your attention. I hope you'll keep calling and get this article. I will send you the timeline of the chronological picture of Jerusalem through the ending period. I think that'll be helpful to you. And I just want to educate you. I want to get you excited. Jesus is coming very, very soon. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? Let me try that again. You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, hi. I just heard on your station about the man called said that somebody would change the Lord's Prayer.
Say that again. Now, I got the volume down while we can hear you.
Yeah, someone wants to change the Lord's Prayer.
Yes, what about that?
Who wanted to change it?
The Pope of the Roman Church.
Why does the Pope want to change? That's in the Bible, and that's been forever and ever.
You have to ask him, ma'am. When people leave the Bible, or they think they're smarter than the Bible, they say some terrible things.
And I think you're a very smart man. I think it's true about Jerusalem, and that we need to relish the fact that Jerusalem is ever eternal. You know, I mean, it's forever.
It is a city forever, lady. Thank you for calling me. God bless you, and I love you. I love every listener of Open Bible Dialogue. You are very important to me, and I'm here to tell you I love every one of you. I'm grateful for you. I wish every week we'd be right here together, and I wish we'd have lots of more questions. I love to answer questions. I'm going to work a little bit on that phone this week. It hadn't been quite as clear. Clear today as it's been being. We got to get it straight. I love you. It's a joy to do this program. I love educating you. I love you learning all these great truths, for they are breathtaking. God bless you. May the joy of the Lord be your strength, okay? May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let me get some good music here and try to set your heart aflame. I want to set your heart aflame.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. master of everything. Oh, his name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.